Before we start, I just want to pray, and I want to pray because not just as some kind of transition, but we need the Spirit of God to understand this. Otherwise, it's just words, and we're talking, and it's a good story. But what we want is we want God to transform our hearts. We want Him to transform our minds, and we want Him to transform what we do and our actions. We don't want to just hear something and then walk out. We want to hear it and then be transformed by His Word, so that when we go out, when we look and we see people, our hearts and our minds are different towards them, therefore our actions are different towards them. So, let's pray. God, right now we come and we pray to You, Lord God, because we need to depend on You. And God, it's so easy for us to be stuck on our own thoughts and our own feelings and our own actions. And like Jonah, just kind of do what we want. So God, I pray that You would use Your Word, God, so that, God, that I would get out of the way, that You would speak by Your Word this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so I was thinking of some things that I really like that other people don't. And one of the things that that is kind of funny is these little cookies. You know, they're like the butter cookies. What I find is this. People don't like these. And so we got a few. All right, we got a few. But these are very polarizing, is what I realized. You either love them or you hate them. There doesn't seem to be much in between. In fact, you know what this is from? When I said this in the service, a bunch of people gave me them because they had them sitting around their house and they didn't want them. And so, I like these a lot, and they're fun, and they keep forever. So, so I say they're good, and other people go, they're not good at all. They're just garbage. And then I can think of things like I love the movie Ben-Hur, and some people go, I hate that movie. It's too long, and it's not good. And you ever notice that sometimes it's just you just can't agree on what's good, and so you say, well, that's just your opinion, or those kinds of things. And I think that the danger is that when that kind of thinking starts to go into what God says about things. So what does God say about marriage? What does God say about the life of a Christian and what their job is? And what does He say about the Great Commission and making disciples? And we kind of say, well, that's your opinion. And you think that's good, but what I'm doing is good for me. And you see, we're going to talk through Jonah 1, and it's a really simple, okay? It's a really simple idea, and it's this, is that God decides what is good. God decides what is good. And what we're going to see is there's a differing opinion here about what is good, okay? See, a lot of times we ask the question, and I deal with a lot of younger people, and to be honest, a lot of them have not been trained in the Bible. They don't know the Bible. So when I talk about Jonah, they know the book of the fish, but they've never even read it. And so a lot of times they say, well, God isn't good if he's hard on us, or God isn't good because these things. And the question isn't really, is God good? It's, do I know what is really good? You see, obedience to God is always good. And so the question we want to ask is, do I know what is good in God's eyes? Do I know what is good in God's eyes? So I love definitions. It might be I love languages and that kind of stuff, but a lot of times we use words like good, and we don't define them, and so we all have different opinions of what is good right now. And so I want to talk about what is good in the Bible, okay? What is good in the Bible, okay? And this is what it really is that when it says God is for our good, He's working to an aim and accomplish two things, really. It's this. God wants to build our character, and God wants to build His kingdom, okay? He wants to build our character. In other words, He cares deeply about us personally as individuals looking like Jesus. And that's what Ephesians talks about, is that He wants us to be little Jesuses walking around in how we treat our neighbor and how we love our children and how we love our husband and wife, our co-workers. That's what He wants. You see, what is good? It's possessing desirable qualities for the best outcome of our character and His kingdom, okay? Now, if you think of that definition, there's a lot of things that we try and protect in our lives that aren't protected under that. Okay, but God decides what is good. And then mercy. Because what we're going to see is Jonah is going to kind of get trashed here. And what we're going to see is you say, well, God's being mean to him. Or no. God is actually being good to him and merciful to him. And we're going to keep reinforcing that. Okay? So mercy is this. It's not getting the penalty for my sin and failure. I don't get it. So whatever the penalty was, I don't get it because of mercy. Okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about suffering and the goodness of mercy of God. And I want to be clear that not all suffering is because we're being like Jonah, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jonah, and we're going to look at his story, and we're going to see that he's kind of dumb, okay? And we can laugh at Jonah, and then we can turn and look at ourselves and say, how are we being like Jonah, okay? But I want to be very clear. Some sin and some suffering is just because we live in a fallen world, okay? It's not because you did something, okay? It's because life is hard because we are sinners, amen? And so because of that, we're sinners and we live in a sinful world. Okay? So God decides what is good. Let's look here in Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to start to go through here. Okay? And as we go through, this is going to be important. All right, this side represents Jonah and what Jonah thinks about things. So I'm going to ask you from time to time, hey, people who represent Jonah, are things going well here? And you're going to say yes or no. I'll help you out if you get in trouble. Okay? Congratulations. You guys get to be God. Okay? And so that's better. And so what's going to happen here is that we're going to say, okay, what do you think about things? And what I want to see here and what this passage really wants to show us is there's a contrast of opinion between the prophet of God who's supposed to be speaking for God and God himself. Okay? So, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. So God comes, he says, hey, you're my prophet, you speak for me. There's those people that aren't of you that have been really mean to you. I want you to go and tell them, no more. Okay? So here's the thing that's happening, though. Jonah hates these people. If you look where he's at in Israel, his people had been ransacked, hurt, raped, pillaged, carried off, things stolen from them, crops stolen from them. Whatever hurt you can think of had happened to Jonah and his family. And so what happens is this. Jonah has a problem. Jonah is prejudiced. Okay? Or you could say, even in this case, Jonah is racist. Okay, the reason why is these people had hurt me, and so rather than dealing with them or giving them grace or mercy, I want to move away. And what prejudice really is at the heart, it's rather than moving towards love and mercy because of the goodness of God through me, I move away because of hurt. Okay, and so... So God delivers his word, and he goes, is that good? Yes, that's good, okay? We can do nods, okay? Okay? Jonah, you're supposed to go preach repentance to your enemies. Is that good for you?
No.
No, that's right. All right, you get participation points over here. All right. No, not good at all. So look at this, okay? But is a very important word in this section. So what we're going to see is, look what it says here in verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, that's about 3 days down, 3 days journey, the opposite way, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Okay? So what's going on is Tarshish is in Spain. He's supposed to be going up. He's supposed to be going to the east. Instead, he decides to go as far as he possibly can to the west. Okay? These people are ridiculous. God, you're crazy right now. There's no way I'm doing this. I'm going to go somewhere else till you come to your senses. Okay? That's really what's going on. So, Jonah, is this a good plan to you? To you it is. Yeah, this sounds really good. Okay? I'm sorry, you're God. God, is this good? No. Jonah, is this good? Yes, this is great. This is a great plan. Okay? There's a contrast because what's going on is Jonah thinks he gets to decide what is good. This is a problem. Okay? This is a big problem. So he's going the opposite way. He's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Here's something that's really important to understand. Is that the common understanding of gods during the time was that they resided in a specific place. So you see this, and we've seen the Psalms where David goes, wherever I go, you're there. If I go really low, you're there. If I go really high, you're there. You're everywhere. And we read that and we go, well, yeah. But to them, that was such a novel concept, okay? One of the big things about the Exodus and them moving into the land was, whoa, their God is moving with them. They have a God that's literally with them, not in some specific place. But he's with them wherever they go. And so Jonah is giving in to the idea that's pretty common of the time is, well, I don't like what this God says, so I'm just going to go someplace else. Okay? And so that's what he's doing. I'm going to go someplace else. Okay? So, by the way, the next verse begins the mercy of our God. And we look at it and we go, oh man, this doesn't make it. Again, if this happens in our life, we go, God's being mean to us. But what we're going to see is this. And I used to say this to people. I used to say, you know what? If you won't do it, God will just send somebody else. But the book of Jonah kind of disproves that. Sometimes God has good things for us to walk in, which he's prepared beforehand, is what Ephesians 2:10 tells us. Which means that God sometimes goes, you know what? You're going to do it. You're going to do it. If you're not going to do it, you're going to get stormed. And then if you're still not going to do it, you're going to get whaled. Okay? And so that's exactly what's going to happen here because this is one of the coolest things about our God. You know what this says to us? Loved ones, you know what this says to us? This says that God cares more about his people and the character than necessarily just the mission. So he says, all right, I'm going to take the time. But you ever think about this? We are the least efficient way to get his kingdom built. We are sinful, we are flawed, we are messed up to the core. And the only when we humble ourselves, which is one of the hardest things for us to do, does God's kingdom really grow and advance in our own hearts and through us. And see, what we have here is, I believe that Jonah wrote this book because he realized how dumb he had been and how pointless his actions were and how good his God was. I think that's why the book ends on a question. So, here it comes, the goodness and mercy of God. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. Can you imagine for a second if he had arrived at Tarshish? He's a prophet for God, okay? He probably doesn't have a lot of talents. What's he going to do? See, a lot of times when we run from God, we don't get better, we get bitter. And the longer we move and the longer we go, the more our compass doesn't quite point north. You ever tried to use a compass and it wouldn't point the right direction? It's really hard to tell what's what. And see, the more we continue in sin and the more we harden our heart towards the Lord, the harder it becomes to even point what is north and what is right and what is true. And see, what's going on is Jonah's heart is clouded because of his hate for some people. Of course, he's righteous about it. You know, he's got good reason to in his own mind. So, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid and cried out to his God. Each one cried out to his God. Okay, so, all right, so now you have a big storm, okay? God takes, Jonah's fleeing, and we got another but. So he takes a storm and chucks it at Jonah, okay? So now there's a storm, so much of a storm, that what's going on is you have sailors afraid of the sea. That's like a taxi cab driver afraid of rush hour traffic. I mean, you have something here that they're saying, okay, this is awful. This is gonna cost us to the point that we're gonna see that they're throwing their cargo overboard. So that's like throwing money away, okay? Throwing business away. So right now, here's what's going on. Jonah is asleep, so he doesn't know about this yet. But God is this good? Is this good right now? Storm? Difficulty? Is this good? Yes, this is good. This is good because God is interested in what? He's interested in Jonah's character, and he's interested in his kingdom. Those are good. And so he says, this is good. Him running from him is not good, but I am good, so I'm going to be good to Jonah. So let's keep reading here. So look what it says then. They're crying out to their gods, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Okay? Jesus, before he saves us on the cross, one of the greatest act ever done by any human that was also God, was sweating drops of blood due to the stress of that situation. Jonah here is fleeing from the Lord, fast asleep in the middle of a storm. Probably because he was kind of exhausted, because running from God is difficult and stressful. But one of the things that we have to be very careful of is using I have peace or I have rest in a situation necessarily as what is good. Because you see, Jonah is fleeing, but he thinks it's good. And so sometimes we have to be very careful about using our emotions over God's word. Okay? So, let's look here. So he had laid down, he was fast asleep. Verse 6, so the captain came up and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we will not perish. Verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell to Jonah. Well, what's this whole casting? It's basically the rolling dice to figure out who did what. It's a form of divination. You do not see it honored after the Holy Spirit comes in any way. Okay? And so if you say, should we be throwing dice today to figure things out? No, we have the Spirit in us. Okay? Just want to hit that as a side note. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? I mean, that's a lot of questions. They're just the barrage here. Why? Because they're intense. They're dying, okay? This is a storm. This isn't a gentle conversation. And check out what he says here in verse 9. I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid to us and said, what is this that you have done? Okay, so here's what goes on. And this is really cool. So they're shaking him because they're going, what's going on here? And again, so they're giving her a ton of questions. I serve and fear God. Does he fear God right now? No, he doesn't. He's running from the Lord. But they know enough. They go, this is the one. That's the guy. We've heard about him. We heard about what he did to the greatest nation with the greatest army on earth, Egypt. We heard how he just tanked those people. And then he led those people for 40 years to go through the wilderness. And then they came in and they just torched everybody in front of them. And now they have this land. And these people were bigger and stronger. That God is mad at us? That God is the one that's doing this? And so they're freaked out because they know that what this God wants is what happens. Okay? So the funny thing is this. The prophet of God is not fearing God, but these pagan, unbelieving people are fearing him. See the contrast and the irony? So the funny thing is that even in his run, God is still glorifying his name. And I think Jonah wrote this later because he's going, look how ridiculous this is. Look how crazy and ironic this situation is. Okay? By the way, one of the problems when we're running from God is in our self-centered mindset is that we start to care less and less for the people around us. We have less and less concern for our neighbors or who our disobedience might be hurting. We say it's not that big of a deal. These people are chucking their livelihood right now because of Jonah's disobedience. See, he says this. Then they said to him, it says, for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So then they said to him, what shall we do for you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up, hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will be quiet for you. For I know that it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Okay? So what he says is this. And this is the first of three times he will say this. Just kill me. Just kill me. I am so tired of this. I'm so anxious. I'm so stressed. Just throw me into the sea and things will be fine. And check out what these guys do. Remember the pagan guys that he doesn't really care for? It says this. Nevertheless, this is verse 13, the men rowed harder to try and get back to dry land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. See how weird this is? So we have the pagan people calling out to God now because the prophet is mad. The one that's supposed to speak for the Lord is frustrated and mad and going, I just don't care. Just end it. He's so proud and so stubborn and so stuck on what he thinks and what he wants to do and what is good and what isn't good, that he's willing to die for that. But see, God alone decides what is good. God decides what is good. If we're basing any of our opinions off of something that is not what God says is good or is not good, it's very, very dangerous. And I think a lot of times in the church, we get stuck trying to decide what is good and not good, not really based off Scripture, but we figure since we've been around it for so long, we can decide those things. And I think that's dangerous. You know, everything from what's the color of the carpet to can the guy preaching wear jeans to music, where we get so opinionated on what is good and not good that we begin to stray from what is truly good, character and kingdom. And then what happens is we're no longer about the main things, we're about the minor things, and we start to squabble and lose unity. And it's because of our pride and our thinking we can be like Jonah and define what is good. So, says this, therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Okay, so Jonah says, I'm just going to kill myself. Jonah, is that a good plan for you? Do you think that's good? Yes. You think that's good, okay? You say, this is best, this is what I want. God, is this a good idea? No, it's not a good idea. It's a bad idea. And so what happens is he's going to get whaled, okay? So verse 15. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And what we see is this. Then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And God says, very good. I don't know, but not pleasant. The smell, the two words, gastric juices, it was not good for him. I don't know if he ever came out of that the same. I really don't think he was the same Jonah after 3 days in the fish that he was before. And one of the things that we'll see is this, is that God would rather have our teeth kicked in and have two teeth left serving him than he would a full set of teeth living in rebellion. And that is kind of Jonah's story, is that God loves us enough to know that, hey, you were made in my image, he says, and you are meant to reflect me as a mirror. And if you're not reflecting me, you don't have anything, no matter how nice your smile might be. But if you only have two teeth and you had to lose them because of sin and rebellion, but you got those two and they're serving me, I'll use those beautifully and wonderfully. You see, the irony of Jonah is this, is that Jonah abuses God's goodness and mercy. He abuses it. Somewhere along the lines, he thought he deserved God's allegiance, and he deserved that God should listen to him and his plans and his ideas, and that his role he had been given as prophet was due to his own exceptional ability and how good he was. Like Jonah, sometimes we think our role and our position in the sanctification process of the church and growing to be like Jesus is because we're good people and because we do right and because we're special. Somewhere along the lines, a lot of times a slip happens and we begin to think that we earned it and that it's due to our merit. And so what happens is the minute that happens, that we start to think that we're good, and then we get around people that are sinners and they haven't been as sanctified as much as we are, we shrink away. Because we go, ugh, you guys are nowhere near where I am. And no one actually says that, by the way. If you do, that's even a bigger problem. But what happens is this. We begin to make people conform to our standards rather than to reach towards them and move towards them and love in the way in which God has called us to love, which is a lot of times in the trenches. And we start to sit and say, why don't people come to us? Or, hey, you want to come to me? Well, I don't want you, so I'm going to go over here. And what happens is we begin to isolate ourselves in certain ways. And we shrink away from sinners who we deem as worse than us. But you see, God's mercy and goodness are only a part of us when we realize that our goodness is not from us. I want to say that again. God's goodness and mercy are only really a part of us and how we act and how we move when we realize that goodness is not from us, it's from Him. And it's through Christ Jesus that we can be considered good. It comes through a total dependence on God, who even in our disobedience will never leave us and never forsake us. And that's a beautiful thing. Guys, life is hard, but our God is good. You see, because what God wants us to have a gospel character, which is this. It starts when every day I start to depend on His work that He did for me on the cross. I look to that, I trust in that, I depend on that, I lean on that to a point where what happens is, but I'm working on my doctorate right now, and what I'm working on is that I summarize it as this. Is, you know how you ever have things you want to do but you don't do, and the things you don't do you want to do? And then at some point you get to a point where there's character and you just don't do those things. It's just a part of who you are. I would call that gospel character. So my entire study of my doctorate is basically how do you get from here to here? Okay? How does that happen? Because, see, this is what God wants. God wants gospel character in us. God wants it moving through us. He wants us to think like Him. He wants us to feel for people like Him. He wants us to move towards them like He would. That's a beautiful thing. And the cool thing is this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, our mission and expectation is the same. To go, to love, to listen, to move towards, to sit with people. And you know what? This is the thing I always say. I had a teacher used to say this. He said, ministry is easy if it weren't for the people. And the funny thing about that, obviously, it's a paradox, because if you don't have people, you don't have ministry. But Jesus set us such a wonderful example for what it means to move towards people and play with the pigs in the mud, so to speak. And it means a lot of surrendering our own opinions, that we don't get to decide what is good as far as doctrine and what is right. We don't get to decide what is good and go off of our feelings. We don't get to decide what is good in our actions. God decides those things. And so because of it, we move towards other people. We move towards them, not away from them. We don't shrink back. God decides what is good. And so I just encourage you guys this week, who would you naturally shrink back from and say, well, they don't deserve it? Well, they got themselves into that. You see, the thing is that Jonah got himself into that, but God didn't shrink away from them. Who is God calling you to move towards today or this week? Who is God putting on your heart to say, you know, it's not about me. It's about your kingdom, and it's about your goodness moving through me. Because that is our purpose. You know, I think that God is good to us. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd encourage you to talk to somebody about that. Talk to somebody to your left or to your right. Get that right. Because without Jesus, we have nothing, no matter what we think we have. And with Jesus, we have everything, no matter what we feel we may lack. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can look to you and you decide what is good. That we don't have to question or wonder, but Lord God, that you are faithful to teach us and to walk with us. And so God, I thank you for these people here. I thank you that each one is uniquely made and has a unique journey with you. And so God, I pray that we would humble ourselves, that we would learn from Jonah, your prophet, and from his example, that God, if we're not lining up with you, that life does get hard. But it doesn't get hard because you're mean. It gets hard because you're good. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.